welcome all of you here. We're just so thankful you be here. It's good to be in church on Wednesday night. Amen. And it's we're glad to have those that are watching online here with us on Wednesday night. Amen. And so check in. Let us know where you're watching from or who you are. Tell us hello. And then get ready to receive your healing. Amen. And, of course, we're going to receive the Word of God, hallelujah, as it is in truth tonight. Praise God. They'll put the information up on the screen to let you know how to connect with us further and how to communicate to us if you need prayer or if you want to give tonight. So they'll keep that up and going throughout the live stream. Praise God. So we're glad you're here with us. Sit back, get your word together, and let's go into the Word of God. Thank you, Father. Psalms 103. Tonight we're going to talk about heaven's health care. We know that open enrollment starts on tomorrow, I believe, and for a lot of health care companies for 2021. And, of course, you have to enroll now, and then you have to kind of wait until 2021 to get the benefits kicked in. Well, we're telling you heaven's health care has eternal benefits, but every day, all the time, never needing updating, never needing renewing kind of benefits. Praise the Lord. Somebody say glory to God. All right, so let's go into the Word so we can cover some good ground tonight. Psalms 103, verse 1 through 3, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Now here's two big ones. "Who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases." Everybody say, "The Lord forgives me of all of my iniquities, and he heals all of my diseases." Now I just gave you a clue on how to access and appropriate your benefits. You have to acknowledge. You have to go, just like the psalmist said, you have to bless the Lord and give him thanks and praise. "And I don't forget your benefits, Lord. I thank you that you forgive all of my iniquities and you heal every single one of my diseases." Praise God. Hallelujah. You keep reading down. It says, "My life is redeemed from destruction. You crown me with loving kindness and tender mercies. Your loving kindness and tender mercies are mine." Praise God. They're ours. I can enjoy. You have to acknowledge them by faith to access them and to appropriate them into your life. These things come by faith. You don't need finances to pay a copay. You need faith to access what has been paid. I'll say that again. You don't need finances to render a copay or some sort of coinsurance. You just have to render faith in what has already been paid to receive what has been provided. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. Glory to God. Man, praise God. Heaven's health care. 2 Peter 2:24 says, "He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sins and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed." King James and New King James says, "By whose stripes you were healed." So if you were healed, then you are healed. And if you are healed, then you can say, "I am healed." So you can say, "Well, I got pain in my knees. I got pain in my back. I got pain in my neck. I got pain in my body. I got sickness in my..." Well, what do you say? According to the Word of God, I am healed. Amen. I'm not saying what I see or feel like. I'm saying what the Word of God says. Remember, how do we access these things? By faith. We access them. We appropriate them. We assimilate these healing benefits into our bodies by faith. Amen. So we got to talk like we got benefits. Because when you don't talk like you have benefits, you forget. You basically are practicing forgetfulness. He said, forget not all his benefits. Amen. We get flu, allergy seasons, all that kind of stuff running around, and people say, well, I got postnasal drip, I got sinus allergies, I got this, I got that. And people say what they got in the natural, but they're not confessing what they have in the spiritual. Now, remember this phrase or this thought, idea, or concept, healing is spiritual. Kenneth E. Hagin said, all physical healing is spiritual. All physical healing is spiritual. And some people say, well, I got the pain. So when we say what we got natural as far as pain, problems, the predicament in our bodies, we are basically practicing forgetfulness. We're forgetting that God has given us benefits and healing blessings. Now, these benefits increase and excel at different degrees, dimensions, and levels. Now, listen to this. The first level of heaven's healthcare benefits is divine healing. Everybody say divine healing. So divine healing is when you are sick. What is sick? Basic definition. Basic definition of sick means the absence of health. Something from cold to cancer has health absent in your body. Amen. So you need divine healing. You need the first tier or the first level of those benefits to be restored to health. So when you're healed, what happens? You're restored back to health. When you're sick, cold, low end, cancer, big end, you know, in between. When you are sick, you have an absence of health. So to be healed means to be restored to health. That means sickness is absent. You're completely whole. The second tier or the second level is divine health. Now we said divine healing is the first tier. Divine health is the second tier. The second tier or the second level is when you don't get sick. You know, people say, well, you got to take this shot, you got to take that, you got to get this, got to get that, you got to do all this. No, you walk in a degree, in a dimension of God's grace, and healing mercy where you don't get sick. We've known of man, there's been men and women who've testified that I've gone so many years, and some of them even decades, and said, I hadn't even got a headache. So Tylenol or these aspirin companies have not gotten any money from them. Right? Right, because they walk in that benefit of divine health. Everybody say divine health. Divine health means you walk in a dimension where you don't get sick. You don't get headaches. You don't get migraines. You don't get these things. Now, it doesn't say you tempted to get it, because that's not the qualification. You will get always tempted to get sick or to get the headache. But by faith, just like you receive divine healing, by faith you also have to walk in divine health. That means you resist sickness when it comes. You resist the symptoms and the sickness, the root cause, when it comes. How do you resist it? With your faith. With your faith. I think I'm on. Yep. Good. All right. Somebody say praise the Lord. All right. The third level, the highest level, or the highest tier or degree of these benefits is divine life. Everybody say divine life. So the divine healing, first tier, those are great benefits. Divine health, greater healthcare, heaven's healthcare benefit, greater. That's where you don't get sick. Amen. And then the third level, the highest level, is divine life. There's been men and women of God, again, in history, in Christian history, that have been around people, and they repel and expel sickness or disease in them. I remember Kenneth E. Hagin one time was with a minister, and he said he had diabetes, and he said, well, while you're with me this week, you won't register any low or high blood sugars. And he could eat anything he wanted to while he's with Brother Hagin. Well, Brother Hagin's faith was not only for him not to get sick, but it was to keep other people from getting sick around him. Somebody said, glory to God. So as you progress in these health care benefits, come on now, your faith will make you whole and also will keep you whole and help keep others whole. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So your faith level determines your level, amen, of benefits that you enjoy, appropriate, and assimilate into your life. 3 John 2 says it this way in the passage: beloved friends, I pray that you are prospering in every way and that you continually enjoy good health. That's God's will. Just as your soul is prospering. Now, we're going to start with these reasons why it's God's will to heal you, because you need to understand what's backing up this powerful heavenly healthcare plan of God. And these seven reasons, we're going to end up on number 7, which is the healing covenant, and break that down a little bit further. But we're going to give you 6 prior to that that give you a assurance and a reassurance that God's answer to you is always yes and amen when it comes to healing and the restoration of your health. First reason, that God's word is medicine. God's word is medicine. Proverbs 20 through 22, Proverbs 4, chapter 4, verse 20 through 22, he said, my son, give attendance to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. He says what? For they are what? Life to those that find them. His words. And they are in health to all their flesh. That word health there is medicine. Now I want you to notice the 3 steps here that these scriptures give us on how to take your medicine. Because remember, when some people take a prescription from the doctor, it has instructions on it. Everybody familiar with that? Yes. Take with food. Take with 1 hour before you go to bed, whatever the case may be. So you follow the instructions of the medicine prescription. And so here's how God prescribes his word as healing medicine. What does he say? He says, first, let them not depart from your eyes. This is the process of spiritual and physical immunity. As you take God's word as healing medicine, the second part is what? Keep them in the midst of thine heart. So your focus is to be on his word, his promises. Now remember when we broke down the word faith, F-A-I-T-H, faith, the first step of faith or process of faith is focus on God's promises. He said, let them not depart from your eyes. So when you're looking at your pain, your problem, seeing things not getting better, and you're not seeing the promises, you're drifting from faith into feelings or into fear. You've got to keep them in let them not depart from your eyes. So we've used terms like sometimes you got to take immersion, you got to take the word, your medicine 3 times a day. And if you're really in a pickle or in a very problematic situation, painfully, you need to focus on the word five times a day. We've even said get healing scriptures playing in your ears and get healing messages playing in your ears. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And then keep them before your eyes. In other words, you're seeing it with the eye of your faith. You're focusing on the promises. You're not focusing on the problem right now. You're focusing on the promises. So you get your scriptures out. And we have scriptures online and all kind of places. If you need them online, if you need them, if you're online, you need them, we send them to you free of charge. Won't charge you anything. But you take that medicine. You take that medicine. There's no side effects from God's word in your spirit manifesting into your body. There's no harmful side effects. Now we all heard these commercials that they teach about what? That you take this, it'll cure this, but then they give you a whole 2 minutes of what it might cause. Well, God's word is not going to cause harmful side effects. He said, keep them in the midst of thy heart. What does that mean? Faith production center is of the heart. And y'all have heard me tell the story of Kenneth E. Hagin and even myself preparing for a surgery procedure I had years ago, hernia surgery. God told me 3 weeks out, he said, you need to prepare your heart for this procedure. In other words, I needed to build my faith up to a higher level than it where it was. I need to stuff my heart full of the word of God. Because Romans 10:10 tells us what? With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is the process. Everybody say, this is the process. Amen. Praise God. So that's the first reason. God's word is medicine. It's medicine to all your flesh. That means you can't say, well, they can't fix this. Well, God's word can. Well, they can't cure this. Well, God's word can. God's word has healing power in it. Come on now. God's word has healing virtue. There's enough power in 1 Peter 2:24 to heal everybody. Amen. Second reason, a strong spirit will sustain you. Listen to this, very powerful scripture. Proverbs 18:14, reading out of the Amplified Classic. A strong spirit of a man will sustain him in body of pain or trouble. But a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? What kind of spirit? Everybody say a strong spirit. A strong spirit. See, if you're weak spiritually and you experience physical pain and weakness physically, then you gotta, that math doesn't add up. It won't sustain you. Because the first thing you'll yield to is the pain and the imagination that's going wild in your mind about what that pain may mean and how bad that problem or that prognosis or diagnosis has been to you. Everybody say a strong spirit. A strong spirit will sustain a man in bodily pain or trouble. So that means you got to keep your spirit strong. One of the reasons the Lord told me to prepare my heart was to get my spirit strong so that when I was laying on the operating table, I went off of my spiritual strength and not my physical pain or weakness. Now, the challenge with many people is that they leak. We had that discussion on Sunday a little bit. And what makes you leak? Strife? What makes you leak? Arguing? Fear and anxiety, worry? That leaks your spirit out like you just poked holes in a water bag. There are certain things that drain your spiritual strength and stamina. Disobedience, outright rebellion against God, being offended, unforgiveness will make your spirit weak and you will leak. So you can come in church and get all pumped up and built up, and you go right out there, and because you allow those things to drain you, you won't stay strong, you'll be weak. Third reason, because of the original creation. Reasons we know why it's God's will to heal you, because in the original creation, God didn't create sickness or disease. Genesis 1:31 says, then God saw everything he made, and indeed it was good. So everything, so the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Everything he made, he said, and indeed it was what? Good. Praise the Lord. All right, so let me adjust my belt pack here. What am I doing? Okay. All right. Just a new mic. Some tech things out here. Praise the Lord. Amen. So God made everything in the beginning. He made it what? Good. Thank you. Praise the Lord. So the fourth reason, because let me go back to the third reason. Because some people think this, for example. They think that, well, maybe God did this, or God put this on me, or God's trying to teach me something. Well, did God create sickness? No. He said he saw everything he created, and it was good. Now, we'll talk a little bit more in this, really in the fifth reason, why sickness did not originate with God. Now, the fourth reason is his will in heaven and the worlds to come. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Now, this is after the millennial reign, when there's a new heaven and a new earth, and the Bible talks about all things being made new at this time. I mean, it's going to be glorious, isn't it, right?
Amen.
Now, let's look at this. Look at this. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more, what? Death. Everybody say, no more death.
No more death.
I mean, people magnify death. I mean, they got a national day of death in some countries. In some cultures, some people honor death like it's reverently, and that death is an enemy. Death is an enemy. But in the new world to come, in the new heaven and the new earth, there will be no more death. No more reporting on how many people died of coronavirus.
Somebody say glory to God.
No more sorrow. It says, no more sorrow, nor crying, and there will be no more pain. That means nobody's getting hurt. And the former things have passed away. Then I saw on the throne, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write these words, for these words are faithful, true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who is athirst. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, for this which is the second death. Praise God. So in the new world, there's not going to be any pain. There's not going to be any sorrow. I mean, you see a lot of sorrow at funerals. People crying hysterically. You got a lot of people, unfortunately, mad at God at funerals. But see, if God operating in death, then we should be rejoicing at funerals. But it's just natural that people cry and feel sorrowful at a funeral. Because it's not the will of God. When Adam was created in the beginning, he was created to live forever. But because he sinned, death came in on the scene, which is the fifth reason. The origin of sickness. The origin of sickness. Romans 5, 11 and 12. It says, and not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received this reconciliation. Therefore, just as though one man, sin, entered into the world, and death through sin. Death came through sin. And thus death spread to all men, because all had sin. All sin. How did we sin? We weren't even born. Well, we all sinned in Adam. Because of our identification with him. When he fell, we all fell. All human race fell. But everybody say, thank God for Jesus. So how did death get in? Was death in God's original creation? No. You see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days, God did not say, on this day I'm creating death. But see, this is all we've ever known since we've been born. Thorns and briars and viciousness of nature, storms. I mean, my God, the hurricanes, the floods, the fires, the aging process. I mean, y'all can relate to that. So that's all we've known since we've been here. And people think this is normal, but it's not normal to God. With everything, when everything is restored, Isaiah said the lion is going to lie down with the lamb. The little baby is going to play with the snake's den. You know how horrifying it would be for a little baby to play with snakes? Everything got perverted, and everything got painful. At the fall. Amen. See, there's not going to be nothing to step on or get hurt. The animals are not going to kill each other anymore. How did this terrible death get in? Everybody say sin. Sin. We should not make light of sin. People sometimes just sin and sin and... And you try to talk to them about the seriousness of it and the repercussions of it, and they say, I'll just apply 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to it. They say, well, I'll just apply 1 John 1:9 to it. God will forgive me. But they don't know that they're setting a death cycle or death process in motion. Today we call it problems or opportunities. The Bible calls it sin. Today we call it a skin problem. The Bible calls it a sin problem. Amen. We should not make light of sin. So what's the big deal? The big deal is that what sin has done to us and what it took to get sin off of us. That's the big deal. The price the Lord Jesus had to pay, had to be paid. Sin is serious. We should not take sin lightly. We live in a society where the church belittles sin and culture says there is no sin. They don't even want to use the word anymore. People don't have sins. They just have problems in today's society. They have problems that they're working on. That means they leave me alone and I'll change if and when I get good and ready. Anybody hear about that? It's a big problem. So where did sickness come from then? God didn't create it. It's not of his plan, part of his plan. Sickness is a part of death. Sickness is a part of death. By one man, sin entered in, and death came because of that sin. Because of the wages of sin, in Romans chapter 5 and 6, the wages of sin is what? Death. It doesn't say sickness, but yes, it does. It doesn't say poverty, but yes, it means that. See, there's a cause for these things to come. Every kind of harassment and every kind of confusion and any form of death came. If you get enough poverty in your life, you're dead. Isn't that right? Enough poverty means you don't have enough food to eat or water, good water to drink to keep you alive. People are dying of poverty. If you get enough sickness in your body, guess what? You're dead. Amen? Isn't that right? So it's just different degrees of death. See, none of it would be here if it hadn't been for sin. And to say that sickness, which is the product of sin, is the will of God is like tantamount to saying that what caused it is the will of God. What caused sickness is the will of God. And that's wrong. You might as well say sin is the will of God. See, if there had never been any sin, there would not ever have been any death, sickness, or poverty. So you got to recognize this, that both sin and death came to Adam. He yielded to Satan's temptation to sin and transgressed God's law and his commandment. He only had one, and he blew that one. And he transgressed God's law, and how sickness and poverty and death got in. But salvation and life and healing came through Christ and his blood. We all know it. The wages of sin is what? Death. So sickness is a form of physical death. Sickness is a form of physical death. Sickness is the foul offspring of its child of its father Satan and its mother sin. That's what John Alexander Dewey said. I'll say it again. Sickness is the foul offspring of its father and child of its father Satan and his mother sin. Satan and sin, which are synonymous, came together. Sickness. The sixth reason we know that's not God's will, it's God's will to heal everybody, is because sickness is a work of the devil. 1 John 3:8 says, he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, for this reason, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That word destroy means to loosen, dissolve, to dismantle. So when Jesus came, he came to loosen, to dissolve, and to dismantle the works of the devil. The works of the devil is sickness, ladies and gentlemen. Man, this is good stuff. Amen? The seventh reason, which we're going to elaborate in the balance of our time, is that sickness because of the covenant of healing. Everybody say, we have a covenant of healing. So just like you have a contract for your benefits naturally, and it's usually annual and has to be renewed every year, right? Everybody know that? So we have an eternal contract that doesn't have to be renewed. It doesn't have to be revised. It doesn't have to be upgraded. It's more than a contract or an insurance policy. It's an eternal life and health policy. Whew, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to see that. And it's God's oath and promise to you through the blood of Jesus to say, I will always want you well and healed. You have a covenant of healing. Now, one of the first redemptive names of God, our Father, revealed in Scripture is the word that is commonly known as Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. In Exodus 15, verse 22 through 26, we see in these scriptures that his name is revealed. It says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. And then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. So they're pretty thirsty at this time. Now they came up to Marah, and they could not drink it, but the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Now get the picture. Get the picture. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. Verse 24, and the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he cast it into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. There he made a statue and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, if you diligently heed to the voice and of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. Now that's that phrase, I'm the Lord who heals you, is the phrase Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. Rapha simply means to mend, to cure, to cause, to heal. It means physician, to repair, to thoroughly make whole, to restore, to heal, and to make healthful. To make healthful. Make your health full. Make you full of health. Not full of sickness, full of health. Praise God. Now this word Marah that they call this waters, these bitter waters, means bitter or bitterness. And so they began to murmur. And see, murmuring is different than believing God. I'll say it again. Murmuring is different than believing God. Murmuring has, I call it, three levels, 3 degrees or 3 intensity levels. The first level is when people start. Had to stand in a long line on Monday. It was hot. We're outside trying to vote. But you can hear this, you can hear some of the rumbling all the way down the line about the hot, no shade, having to wear a mask. It was almost like a whole line of complainers. Why is it taking so long? And you, if you just sit still and let the Holy Spirit help you and coach you a little bit, you can hear a lot of complaining going on. Hallelujah. And so this is what they did when they had gone 3 days and they needed water. They were thirsty, and they went to water, and it was not good water. It was bitter water. The second level is criticizing. We see it in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament when people became critical. And notice nobody's their own critic vocally. That's a good place to say amen, or me. But nobody's really a critic of their own work or their own will. They're criticizing usually someone else. Now let me give you Pastor Ed's quick tip to deal with criticism. There will always be critics. But you have to forgive the critic of today, and some of us need to go further in the future and forgive the critic of tomorrow. That way you won't fall into the trap of sharing critical thoughts, words, and actions against your critics. Because when you forgive your critic, you free yourself from the imprisonment that criticism causes you. Critics often become cynics. They can be very noisy, negative people. I was going to say another word, but the Holy Spirit said, don't say that word. Okay. So, all right. So level three, condemning. So people start making statements of judgment, being judgmental. You know, you always, you never. I can't never. Seem like I can never. You know, you're judging God. You know when you doubt God, you judge God. When you're skeptical and doubt people, you end up judging them real quickly. Preacher, pastor, you're doing real good tonight. Amen. See, this stuff makes you leak because you violate covenant. Condemning is also sentencing, judging one another, speaking evil against others. See, we're not to do three things. I submit to you, we're not to compare ourselves to others or against ourselves. We're not to compare. So don't compare. Don't compare. It's not good, the Bible says. It's to compare yourself against somebody else or to compare yourself against someone else or against yourself, them against you, then that's not good. Because when you always keep score, you're always going to be the winning side. You're going to be the 8, 9, or 10, and they're going to be the 1, 2, or 3. You're going to have more points when you compare because you're going to judge them by their actions, but you're going to judge yourself by your intentions. Everybody say, don't compare. Secondly, don't commend ourselves. So don't be a self-promoter. Be an others promoters. Don't commend yourselves. Don't brag. Don't boast in your flesh. Like we read in Philippians, have no confidence in the flesh. We read it last night. You can't brag about who you are. I got my healing. Or I just believe God. You can't commend yourself because you didn't even use the faith that you manufactured. You used the faith of God that he gave you. And grace made healing available for everybody, so you can't merit it or earn it. So don't commend yourself. And number three, don't classify. Everybody say, don't classify. Don't classify or be cynical towards others or yourself. Because God is the righteous judge, and you got to let him make it right and keep it right. Somebody say, glory to God. Reverend Pastor Keith Moore said this. This is a quote from him. If you want to go down and stay down, just gripe and fuss when you have problems. If you want to go down and stay down, just gripe and fuss when you have problems. This is what so many folks do. They don't see a miracle, and they don't get answers because they complain. Listen to what he says. They gripe. They fuss. That's unbelief. That is unbelief. You can't gripe in faith. You can't complain in faith. And you've heard us say this statement, doubt despairs, complains, and is sad. But faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. And so they complained when they said to Moses, what shall we drink? They were putting pressure on him. And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he had cast the tree into the waters were made sweet. See, can bitterness be made sweet? Yes, because sickness is a bitter pill. Nobody likes to get a cancer diagnosis. Nobody likes to get a dementia or Alzheimer's diagnosis on their relative or loved one. Nobody wants to get the dreaded diabetes diagnosis, leukemia, arthritis, bursitis. Somebody say, glory to God. Muscular degeneration, whatever disease, label, or liable situation that you get put upon you. It's a bitter pill. Can malignancy be made healthy? Can toxicity be made clean and normal? Yes. Everybody say yes. How's it made sweet? Listen to Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 5, verse 30. And God our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Galatians 3:13, it says it this way. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Come on now. Upon the tree, he died for you and me. Our Lord has turned our curse into a blessing. Amen. And it says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Was that Jesus took our and dealt with our cross bitter? Absolutely. He turned our curse into a blessing. He became a curse for us. See, did he deal with the bitterness in our lives? Yes, he did. Because when Moses put that tree in, as the Lord told him, that tree was a type of the cross. Upon the tree, he died for you and me. He turned our curse into a blessing. See, is there a covenant of healing? Did God establish something? Look at this. Exodus 23:25-26, NIV this time. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessings will be upon your food and water, and I will take away the sickness from among you, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land. I will give you a full lifespan. Somebody say, glory to God. Today's so verse 25. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessings will be upon your food and water, and I will take sickness from among you, all your sickness. Could you imagine God taking sickness out of your house? Taking sickness out of your family? Taking sickness out of your church family? Amen. We know, I mean, because people give you scare tactics, and I mean, I know there's some scientific facts about this. They said, you know, the virus can be transmitted airborne and you know, so many people, you know, because there's enough germs, y'all know, in most things that we eat and drink to cause us to be sick and hurt many times over. What keeps us from just keeling over once we cut into a steak? Does God have the power? All those free radicals and those harmful germs and viruses from affixing itself to yours and my body? Come on now. He said, because we've made the Lord our refuge, even the Lord our refuge, there shall no evil befall us. Come on now. No harm shall come near or plague shall come near our bodies. No harm or disease or virus will come near our physical bodies and fix itself to our bodies. Come on now. He's our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in time of trouble. The healer's in the house. He's walking with us. Can he sanctify that food? Yes, he can. Can he bless what we eat and drink and deliver us from ill effects? How do we access this? By faith. When you're out there in the restaurant, I don't care how fancy and fine it is, you better pray over that food. If you're at home cooking something out of your own refrigerator and freezer, pray over that food. Somebody say, glory to God. And, you know, and pray over it. Even if you raise it up and garden it out of your own backyard, pray over that food. Amen. Listen to what Mark 16 says. Ready, close. Just as some nuggets here. Mark 16:18. He said, and they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. Now, I submit to you, in the midst of this pandemic, this also includes. Listen to me. If by any means I touch something. Because see, some people have more faith in hand sanitizer and more faith in hand washing than they do the power of God. But he says, if listen to this, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any, that means if they get accidentally bitten. That doesn't mean you play with snakes. It means if you accidentally get bitten by a if they drink any deadly thing, if they touch anything deadly or diseased or virus, come on now, it will by no means hurt them. Come on now. That means you got spiritual immunity everywhere you go in the name of Jesus. There's enough power in that name, come on now, to drive that sickness out, to drive that virus out, to drive that disease out. It doesn't matter if they forget to disinfect that door. Your hands are protected by the blood of the Lamb. Come on now. And the name of Jesus. Because you got benefits. This is part of your benefits. And they said that if you'll lay hands on the sick. Now that's an anti-social distancing scripture. They shall lay hands on the what? Now, this word sick is just not sneezing with a flu or got allergies infection. This is the worst level of sickness of the five categories of sickness and disease that Jesus cured while he was on the earth. This was the worst category. So when he uses this word sick, Jesus is not just mixing words and pulling them out of his out of his backside. He is basically saying the worst condition imaginable can lay hands on a believer and Christ follower, can lay hands on that person in my name and by my authority. The Greek word here means critically ill, the definition of the Greek word, critically ill and comatose. That means they're almost dead. They're unconscious naturally. He said the believers can lay hands on the sick, those that are critically ill and comatose, and from the worst case scenario, from all the way to a common cold, they can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Somebody say, glory to God. Don't forget your benefits. See, many of us don't take them because we don't believe them. We say, well, I'll just fight my way through it. We sniff and go through five Kleenex boxes. When you're a believer and Christ follower, profess to be that. Lay hands on yourself and say, in the name of Jesus, sickness, cold, sinus, straighten up. Get out of here. I start recovering right now. Some people run into the doctor and bowing down and revering the doctor. Thank God for doctors. But the Lord is your physician. Don't forget your benefits, that he is the Lord who heals you. And he's given us the name, that when we speak that name, that means everything that Jesus was, everything he is, and everything he ever will be is wrapped up, tied up in that name. And we can speak the name. Come on now. If you're online, if you got worst case scenarios going on in your house, in your physical body, in your mental, just lay your hands on yourself and say, in the name of Jesus, I believe that I receive my healing right now. In Jesus' name. And start recovering. Thanking God that your recovering starts right now. Praise the Lord. What else about this food thing? Let's just knock this out and we'll turn it over to Pastor Cynthia. Y'all get something out of this tonight? Look at this. 1 Timothy chapter 4. He said, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter days some will depart from the faith. Some people have been departing from faith. They've been going toward fear, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving. That means we're free to eat anything. You follow your conscience. By those who believe and know the truth. By those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is what? Good. And nothing to be refused if it were received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by what? The word of God. Healing medicine. And prayer. My prayer of faith over that food. So if it's a big ribeye or if it's a big filet mignon, if it's a New York strip, if it's a whatever pork, you know, you call that food into the ministry. The ministry and health and well-being of your physical body. So you can do the work of the ministry. Now don't be a glutton and get so full you lazy and you don't do no work of the ministry. Amen. You sanctified and calling in to give you energy to carry out the will of God and do the work of God for your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then, of course, in Psalms 105:37, we'll close with this verse. He said he brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not a feeble among the tribes. Are you serious? We're talking about a million people here. We're talking about San Antonio, greater San Antonio area size number of people. They estimate 1.5 to 3 million people, which is about kind of Bexar County-ish. And it was the will of God. Now, if God never changed, if he's still the same, can he do it again? But you know, our local officials tell us the hospitals get filled up. You go in the waiting room, you get stuck. Like I was telling you my experience last week, a lot of folks in the hospital. A lot of folks, but we have to believe, can God do it again? Certainly he could. Can he keep a whole church healthy? Well, we testify to the goodness of the Lord that, hey, 100% of our church family walks in divine health. Nobody sick, nobody hurting, nobody in pain. Anything we deal with is all minor and minuscule, and we just knock it out of the park. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Let's just praise God. Let's just thank God right now. Thank you, Lord, that you're a healer. Thank you, Lord, that you're changing our perspectives. You're changing our mindsets and mentality about the healing anointing, the healing covenant that we have with you. Thank you, Father God, that you are a healer. Yes, you've told us it's okay to run to the doctor, but we got to come to you first. Don't forget our benefits first. We have heaven's health care benefits first and foremost. We thank you, Lord, that you're still a healer today. And your healing power, it works just as good today as it did in the Bible days. We thank you, Father God, that healing always comes. And there's enough healing right now, right now, right now, wherever you are. If you're sick or afflicted, if you have a pain in your body, reach up and receive it right now. Reach out, receive it, receive it. Hallelujah. Receive your healing right now. Receive your healing. Hallelujah. Thank you. Muscles, bones. Right now. Receive it. That's what came to me. Muscles, bones, and blood issues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, tightness in your neck, central nerves firing off. Misfiring, hallelujah, where you get headaches and you get throbbing in your head, hallelujah. Be healed right now. Be healed. Be thou made whole in Jesus' name right now. Just receive your healing. You got to take it. You got to just like, okay, that's mine. I have it now. I have it now. Hallelujah. Foot swelling. Be healed right now. Feet swelling. Be healed right now. So you won't have pain when you stand up or when you walk. In Jesus' name, be well. In the name of the Lord Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.